supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
By thinking big, the race through space could speed way up by going small. Let's put pedal to the metal with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, it seems the fastest spacecraft launched so far is the New Horizons, going at a zippy 36,000 miles an hour. What are we talking about here?
You would think that if you wanted to travel to a nearby star system, you'd need a spacecraft with very big rocket motor so that it could blast along at thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of miles per hour.
A Saturn launcher the size of a city.
At least the size of a city. Plus, you'd need all the supplies and all the people and just everything you'd need to get there. But here's a very, very different idea. The Breakthrough Starshot initiative that was started by Yuri Milner just about a year ago is investing $100 million in a plan in which, rather than sending extraordinarily gigantic spacecraft, nanocraft are sent instead. Just think about what the objective is of sending a spacecraft across distant space to reach another star system. Well, you'd like to find out more about the star system, maybe find out if there are conditions that are conducive to the possibility of life, and maybe even detect some signal of life.
So nano means teeny tiny.
Nano means teeny tiny, and in this case we're talking about something that's just about 1 gram and about the size of a postage stamp that has all of the electronics necessary to complete just such a mission.
Is this Yuri's great adventure, or are other scientists with cred in this game also on board?
Well, this idea is supported by two people that we might think have some credibility. One is Mark Zuckerberg, but more importantly, Stephen Hawking, the great British astrophysicist, believes that this is an important project to get us started to becoming a spacefaring civilization.
So how would it work?
Well, it's a very interesting prospect. The idea is that rather than have all of the fuel and rocket motors and things like that on board the nano spacecraft, instead you'd use a very unconventional type of propulsion system. So what you'd do is you'd launch hundreds of these, maybe thousands of these, and you'd propel them along with a 100 gigawatt laser blast from Earth that would get them up to a significant percentage of the speed of light. And then the solar sails that have captured this laser light connected to the postage stamp would drive them along until they reach the location.
Drive, but who's steering?
Well, here's the interesting prospect here. How do we accurately steer these objects right toward the exoplanet we want them to get to over such a long distance? A big one is, can we actually use the solar sail capability of these nanocraft as antenna also for receiving signals from Earth, sending signals back from their distant locations? So it's a very interesting idea that has a tremendous amount of work to be done to actually making it come to fruition.
But on the face of it, somebody or some bodies are putting down $100 million in seed money.
Well, if you think about it, you know, if we actually work out the technology, this may be the best bet we have for accomplishing this kind of achievement anytime quickly. After all, what we're talking about here is reducing the travel time by conventional means from here to Alpha Centauri. We're talking about reducing that from 30,000 years to only 20 years. But then just imagine what doors that opens for additional exploration of nearby space.
Let's come back home, head out of doors. What's available in the night sky this week?
If we go out at sunset, as the sky darkens, we'll be able to see the last of the winter constellations on the western horizon. A bit later in the evening, we'll see the spring constellation, Leo the Lion, off in the northwest. And then further around to the north, we can find the Big Dipper. But we'll also be able to notice over on the eastern side of the sky, around 11:30, 12 midnight, we can find that there are a number of other constellations visible that really tell us that summer is coming. First of all, the constellation Scorpius is over on the eastern horizon, as is the constellation Sagittarius in the east as well. This is accentuated by the presence of two bright planets. just after sunset, Jupiter makes its appearance high in the eastern sky. But by the time we get around to 12:31 a.m., we find that both Jupiter and Saturn are now visible in the sky, Saturn over high in the southeast, while Jupiter has made its way well over into the south-southwest.
It's not all happening at night. What's with being able to view the moon during the day?
Ah, this is a wonderful viewing opportunity that we often miss. So what's happening this week is that the moon is coming up to its last phases. So it's in its last quarter phase. But the moon in its last phases is now rising after midnight. So what that means is, in order for it to make its circuit around the sky, then it has to be in the sky during the day. And during its last phases, during the last quarter, it actually is available in the sky, high in the western sky, up until about noon. So if you're out in the morning this week between sunrise and noon, you should look for a last quarter moon high overhead. And as the week goes on, it comes back into a position that puts it in the same portion of the sky as the sun, although rarely will it actually block the light from the sun. And we'll have more to say about that later in the season.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.